I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. Hormones. What are they and how do they contribute to vibrant health? Today we will be talking about hormones and health with author Dee Lindsay Berkson. She has written 4 books on hormones, and today we'll be talking about her latest, Safe Hormones, Smart Women. She has been a legend in nutrition and hormones and clinical practice for many years. She has trained doctors of all professions, authored many books, designed the first ever non-hormonal supplement for doctors to prescribe to patients, has a master's degree in nutrition, several nutritional higher board certifications, and has been a scholar at the science-driven think tank at Tulane and Xavier Universities, specializing in emergent research on estrogens for almost a decade. Lindsay, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Oh, I am so excited to be here with you today, Lisa. Thank you.
Well, I'm so excited to have you here, Lindsay. I loved your book, and you write in the intro that you wanted it to feel like Ellen and the gals from The View were sitting around talking and sipping lattes. And let me tell you, you hit the nail on the head. It's funny. I was laughing out loud, and it's serious, and it's such a great combination, but you're entertained while you're educated, which is exactly what I try to do. So I just wanted to compliment you on such a wonderful job.
Oh, thank you. That means so much to me. I really wanted to serve the left and right hemispheres without suffering from hemispheric drift. People have a real page turner that they didn't want to put down, but at the same time know that I'd spent the last 3.5 years wading through 5,000 and 7,000 articles, which most doctors and researchers just do not have the time to do, to present what the science says that women can now know is important in hormones and our health, and yet really enjoy the book. So thank you so much.
Yeah, it's so fun and educational. And, you know, in the introduction, you asked some important questions. Are you exasperated when you start to notice your chin sprouts hair? You can't see the tweeze. That the only way to lose 20 pounds is to cut off an arm. You work out regularly, but your body obstinately assumes the shape of a couch and more. So I'm sitting on the couch cracking up. My husband's like, what is so funny? And I read it, and he laughs. And then I laugh, and then I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to cry, you know, because these things are happening.
You laugh and you cry, I know.
Is that my hormones, or I think it's just the harsh things that can happen. And that's why, again, your book is great, because you can help us learn all about these things and tell us, okay, what can we do to get some control back? So first of all, what are hormones?
Well, you know, most people misunderstand hormones because they think hormones are basically about reproductive or sexy things. That's why your son has stuck a copy of Playboy under his bed, or that's why you basically have sweat dripping down your nose while you're trying to have a romantic date while you're back in the dating market again. But the truth of it is that hormones have a whole nother job description that we're beginning to appreciate. And your body has somewhat an internet system. And one cell sends another cell email, just like you do over the cyberspace. And that email tells our cells basically what to do, whether you digest a food, have a thought, whether you you slough something off that doesn't need to exist anymore in your digestive tract. Your whole entire body runs on messages of life that are really delivered through cellular email. And what delivers most of these messages are hormones. And hormonal email is a real happening email, cyberspace, biologically as we are in our 20s, 30s, and 40s. But when we start to go into our mid-40s and head on into our 50s and 60s, it's like your computer freezing up. Suddenly, there's less and less email, and cells are not being told what to do. And we start experiencing many symptoms that we have thought were inevitable with aging, like our body, even though we work out, our muscles are no longer firm, or our skin gets crepey and our voice starts to get that old lady or old man voice, or we start having elevated cholesterol, blood pressure, and thinning bones. We've all thought that these were inevitable symptoms and signs of aging. But it turns out that hormonal email actually helps keep up a lot of these systems that we used to think were aging and can actually prolong or push back the Mack truck of time. And that's one of the big deals here, is whether we can now age differently than we ever thought possible. Rather than at 50 having most of your life in your rearview mirror, at 50, 60, 70, you can still look at a lot of healthy life in front of you if we know how to keep our hormonal emails safe.
Yeah, and that's what's so crucial, because you write, quote, we're the first generation to live one-third to one-half of our lives in menopause. And that, even though I know that, just to read it like that, it's like, oh, my goodness, that's really shocking. You know, I plan on living a good long time, and I'm in my early 40s, so.
Well, you know, that the age that you're at right now, Lisa, 100 years ago, most women only lived to be in their 40s. They barely had time to get rid of their PMS, and then they're in the cemetery.
Oh,
and we really are. It's never happened in biomedical history before that many of us are going to live a third to a half of our life. That's decades and decades. And we want to be able to live these lives with a higher quality. And there's so many of us. I mean, right now there's almost 46 million women in the United States that are going pausal as opposed to going postal. Some husbands think it's like that. I mean, this number is larger than the entire population of Canada by more than 10 million. And in 2025, which isn't that far away, there's going to be over 1 billion of us. So if we don't want to really wreak havoc on our Medicare systems, and if we truly want to have another season of life where 60 is the new 30, and where you can still be sexy and stay out of hospitals and not have to go on meds, and that's really the exciting thing I think that I wanted to tell in this literature is a real take-home message. And this is being said now by people who run the Women's Health Clinic at the Mayo and by researchers and physicians at Stanford. This isn't just in one small circle. This is in the science. We used to think when people get to middle age, most of us start needing cholesterol meds and insomnia meds and high blood pressure meds. And now certain studies that are coming out are suggesting that if hormones are measured in our 40s and 50s, and if they're rebalanced either through food and diet and or if you need to take some natural hormones, actually we can offset going on these medications and offset these what we thought were issues of aging.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, you know, you mentioned some of these experts in the book. There's Dr. Shelley Salpetier, and she's an internist and professor of medicine at Stanford Medical School, and Dr. Leon Spiroff, who wrote Clinical Gynecology, Endocrinology, and Fertility. And it's so nice to hear that that's what they're saying now, because in July 2002, there was some big news on the horizon about hormone replacement therapy that kind of shook everything up. And it seems like now that it's starting to change back again, saying that maybe it's okay, or is that bioidentical hormone therapy that's okay? I know that was a bunch of questions. But
it's very good questions, though. Those are really good questions. 8 years ago, everybody, because of this huge Women's Health Initiative report, which was prematurely stopped because, hormones were possibly causing the very illnesses that we told women to take them for decades. And everyone got understandably frightened. Doctors were stopping writing prescriptions. Women were flinging their hormones out the window. And now when you actually talk to a lot of women, they say, well, doesn't estrogen cause breast cancer? And isn't this dangerous? And women grab their breasts in fear. And doctors still, it hasn't trickled down to the clinical trenches that over the last 8 years since that scary information came out, many very elegant scientists have reevaluated that statistical data. They've gone, like Shelley Salpeter from Stanford, and they have looked over what we've been told, and they've reviewed a lot of other studies that have been coming out, like in France, where they followed 80,000 women for 8 years on natural hormones. And now the real icons in gynecology, Leon Spiroff, he is like the top dude. He wrote the book that all people that practice gynecology train from to become gynecologists. He is what we call an icon. And Shelley Salpeter, she's a statistician and an internist and a professor of medicine at Stanford University Medical School. And these people have really been teasing apart the data. And Canada, that put a whole group of people together because they have so many women in Canada entering menopausal waters, looking at what's happening, and they're saying, we made a mistake. We shouldn't be taking women off of hormones. In fact, if we do, We're dooming a generation of women to be a time bomb waiting to go off, and we're going to see a lot more illness, from Parkinson's disease to high blood pressure to diabetes, because it now looks like keeping women's hormones balanced, especially as they enter into menopause, and this is really actually applies to men too. It's not just about women. It's really the whole shebang, men and women both. If we keep their hormones balanced and we keep their levels at a low level of a healthy man or woman as they enter into older age, we actually can prevent a lot of illnesses, and we made a mistake telling women to go off of them. But unfortunately, every time something comes out that's positive about hormones, they've done studies on this, it takes longer for that to get to docs, longer for the information to get to the public. But the studies that were more scary, those headlines really make it out first, and women get very frightened, and there's a big difference between the type of hormones. So that's why I wrote this book. Was to find out the truth.
Yes, and it's so informative on so many different levels, and I want to get into foods that we can use to help balance hormones, but first I want to ask about, so what's the difference between bioidentical hormones and the ones that were used for, you know, in the past for replacement therapy?
We now know that the more we mimic Mother Nature, the less trouble we get in. And bioidentical hormones, the word comes from they're biologically identical. So if you were to look at a bioidentical hormone and look at the molecule, it's exactly like a photocopy, a complete identical replica, atom for atom, as the estrogen your own body makes or the testosterone your own body makes. Whereas hormones that are not bioidentical, they're patentable, so they have had to be altered a tiny bit to be able to be patented because natural hormones can't be patented. And so we think, well, what's the difference of two or three or four different atoms or a different way that the ring is altered a little bit by a pharmaceutical company? Well, if you look at, this is really amazing, if you look at estrogen, the molecule that makes a woman feminine, and you look at testosterone that makes a man masculine, and you put them side by side, really the most and only significant difference is that the male hormone, testosterone, on one little end of it has one less hydrogen atom. I call that the hydrogen bomb. It's only one atom that really makes a difference between a male hormone and a female hormone. So when we go in and futz with a number of atoms, we start getting molecules the body has never seen before. And because of that, that's why we need these long-term studies on huge populations of people, because we don't really know what a brand new molecule in the human body will do. So there's a big difference, and it turns out that a lot of the scary issues from hormone replacement, not all, but a lot, came from using synthetic progesterone, which is now called progestin, and that created a lot of the increased risk of breast cancer and the increased risk of stroke and very nasty cardiovascular, meaning like stroke and hemorrhage events. It wasn't so much the estrogen as it was the fake or the brand new, never seen before progestin. So it's a big difference.
Oh, okay. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Now, is there a debate about this with, you know, in the mainstream doctors versus doctors who are more holistic versus, although it sounds like the doctors, obviously, Dr. Shelley Saltpeter and Dr. Leon Spiroff, I mean, they're pretty mainstream. But I hear different things. I was just curious.
Well, pretty much the debate is off for progestins. People feel that the majority of the nasty side effects of hormone replacement were due to progestins. And not all progestins are exactly the same, but the majority of progestins, and certainly the one used 8 years ago in the Women's Health Initiative. There is still a little bit of a debate about horse estrogen versus bioidentical estrogen, depending on which circle you are in. But in the book, I really show some of the molecules in horse estrogen that have never been seen before in the human body, and that are much more potent, much more estrogenic, and can create more issues. And if you look at all of the data on it, and there's tremendous data that people always say there isn't enough information on bioidentical hormones, and that's not true, which is why another reason I wrote this book. There's a lot of science, and there are studies on women all over the world using either putting it on the skin called topical application or putting it a little bit in the genitalia itself and just rubbing it on a small area that have show that it works with a lot less of the nasty side effects of using an estrogen from another species, from horse. But there are some studies that show that, that Premarin does not have some negative side effects over long term. So there's a little bit, and Premarin's the horse estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of a debate. I mean, you might go to some gynecologists that are still choosing to use that horse estrogen versus if you go to an integrative doctor where the stance more often is, let's give you something that your body's already known that it works with. It's a molecule you have, and you've had it for generations and for eons. And I think after going through all of the literature, I think it makes much more sense to use bioidentical hormones than not. And
yeah.
I think that more and more doctors are going that way.
I like doctors who take an integrative approach. And the reason that I asked that is in the beginning of the book, you write about the importance of forming an alliance with your doctor when you want to get back in balance when it comes to your hormones. And so you want to make sure that you're seeing a doctor, I would think, who obviously is open-minded to that and you know, has some more of a holistic approach. I think that just works better for any health problem.
I agree. And then we have to take it one step further. What you will learn when you read this book, say Hormone Smart Women, is that the way we live, what we put in our mouths, and how we exercise, for example, the amount of lean muscle mass you have, all of these things play a role into whether the estrogen that you have, your own that your own body makes, or that you are prescribed, whether that stays safe or, because hormones are two-faced. Estrogen can act good and give you great cellular email, or it could act a little nasty and up your risk of some health issues. So you want to keep estrogen as it moves through your body. We call that being metabolized through your body down a safe pathway. In fact, if you keep estrogen being broken down and broken down and broken down in your body because it's made and then it's broken down every day, every minute, it, at the end of its cascade, which is what it's called, estrogen actually turns into an anti-carcinogen, a protective substance that protects us against cancer if you are eating the right foods, if you have the appropriate optimal level of certain nutrients, and if your lifestyle most of the time is a healthier lifestyle. And so I really believe that women need to go see a doctor that one would measure their own hormones because not every woman needs hormones. We each enter menopause with our own hormonal footprint that's as individual as our fingerprint. And everybody's different. So you get tested, and we probably will start testing people with their hormones in another few years in their 20s, 30s, 40s. So you have it all through your life like you do with all your other cholesterol and sugar. But a doc that tests your hormones and also addresses your food and your nutrients. And I think it's almost malpractice to give a prescription for hormones and not talk to women about the nutrients that keep hormones safe.
Oh, I completely agree. And I won't even get started on the amount of nutrition that doctors study in medical school.
Oh, really?
Which is why I think it's so important to find an integrative doctor. Now, speaking of foods, if you can tell us some of the foods that we should be eating and some of the foods that we should avoid.
Oh, great questions. And I just want to say that women out there hearing this, this isn't just important if you are taking a hormone prescription.
Okay.
Because more women and more men get hormonally driven cancers that are not on hormones than women or men who are. And why is that? Because our own hormones need to be kept safe. So these food choices we're going to discuss, this is important for everyone that's got a body because hormones in our healthy body deliver emails all the time, and these new foods and nutrients keep our own hormones safe. So that's the point I hope to drive home with this book. This isn't just for people wanting to take hormone replacement. It's for the care and feeding of your own hormones to keep them nice and to keep you safe, meaning they're broken down into healthier substances that actually protect you. And that's what these foods do. When you eat these foods, they help keep your make your hormones produce healthy substances that protect you rather than have your hormones work against you. So what is that? What are some of these foods? And I list like maybe 20, 30 in the book, and I'll just give a few right now. A big thing, for example, is fiber. And we've all heard about fiber, and you go yada, 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 and that helps me have regularity. But actually, it turns out that fiber, for a number of reasons that we can't get into right now on the show, keeps estrogen moving down to that place in her metabolism where she makes anti-cancer substances. But you've got to take in enough fiber. And how do you do that without attaching your mouth to the end of a lawnmower? Because it's hard to get that much fiber. So I give little tricks and things. For example, like figs are the highest fiber fruit that we can eat, and 3 figs equals 10 grams of fiber, which is a third of your amount that would be optimal every day. And I'm telling you, it's really a big deal. At the Karolinska Institute, which is like the Harvard of Sweden, they took a look at women on hormone replacement, and they saw that the women who ate about 25 to 30 grams of fiber a day had 50% reduction in any kind of adverse breast health issues like breast cancer. Women in the United States, in Long Island, there's the highest risk of getting breast cancer. That the women there, for some reason, which people have been trying to figure out, it's 1 out of 8 women in Long Island have a lifelong risk of getting breast cancer. That's the highest risk in the United States.
Oh,
so some smart researchers said, well, what about the women who live in Long Island that aren't getting breast cancer? What do they do differently? And it turned out that when they went and studied them compared to the ones who did get breast cancer, they were consuming 25 to 30 grams of fiber compared to other women who consume less. So that means whole foods, or you could take a fiber supplement. I mean, that's the easiest way to get it. There's so many nice fiber supplements. But I really believe in green drinks, and I believe in flaxseed. There's a lot of benefit from flaxseed and grinding up 2-3 tablespoons inexpensively in a coffee grinder and having it with a little yogurt. These things make a big difference in keeping your own hormones safe. Or if you're on prescribed hormones, they're a must.
Yeah, no, it's so good. I mean, I eat all whole foods, and it makes such a difference. And then I notice, I mean, I've always been sensitive, so if I eat something refined, I immediately feel crummy. And I have what I call a food hangover. So I'm kind of forced, because my system is sensitive, that I actually have to eat like a really, like seriously, like I don't eat anything processed. And it makes such a difference in how I feel. It really, it makes such a difference. And flaxseed is great for your skin, too.
People are always asking me what I do for my skin constantly, and I don't do anything because I just can't. It's enough to floss my teeth and brush my teeth and wash. At the end of the day, you know these programs, you do number one, number two. I can't do it.
Yes.
I just can't do it. But between eating and working out regularly, your skin looks so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, though, I do have one little trick, though. There is
there's
a supplement that's like an internal facial. If you take niacin, which is a wonderful, inexpensive supplement because it keeps your cholesterol very buoyant, and it's only your oxidized cholesterol, your oxidized LDL, that's really the sticky, at-risk cholesterol. And niacin really helps keep your cholesterol, the bad cholesterol levels down, and helps keep your cholesterol non-oxidized. And it also tends to dilate all of your blood vessels. So if you take the niacin that does flush, not the non-flush niacin, and you take it about 400 milligrams a day so that you get a flushing all throughout your face and your upper body, and you start with just 50 and you build up slowly to 400 milligrams, as long as you have no liver disease. That's the only contraindication. It's like taking an internal microdermabrasion for your skin, and then you get this side effect that it also helps your cholesterol.
Oh, wow. Now, you mentioned non-flushing. And what would it say on the package? Would it say niacin flushing?
It would just say niacin flushing. Take this, then we have a skull and a crossbones. Take this and you flush. The non-flushing niacin say on them, non-flush.
Oh, okay.
And the niacin that just doesn't state non-flush, that is the flushing niacin.
Oh, okay.
So if you want this as a skin rejuvenator, you need to take the one that makes you flush. And not all women can handle it. Some women flush a little bit more than others, and they can't. It's too much for them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if you build up very slowly, you get much more flushing in the beginning, and then you acclimate to it. But the women who do it on a regular basis which I always think of taking supplements a few days, like 5 days a week or 3 weeks on and 1 week off, not every single day, but intermittently, so your body can do some work on its own. So if you do it a few times a week, the women who do that regularly really notice that their face looks like they've had all kinds of work done on it, their skin, and people come up and ask them, what do you do for your face? Because it's such a powerful increased circulatory nutrient for the skin.
Wow, I'm already writing that down. I know where I'm going after this. I'm going to Whole Foods to get some niacin. Now we only have a moment left. I could talk to you all day. I definitely want to have you back because there's so much more to talk about. If you can tell us just a few of the must avoid foods.
Okay. The biggest one that you must avoid, and you've heard this all a million times before because of other reasons, but this is a shocker, is sugar. And this comes out of a bunch of very respected researchers from Russia that presented a lot of this information at the Stromboli, Italy, anti-aging conference. And they were able to show that and their theory is that when you eat a diet that's high in sugar or foods that have a high glycemic index, and you'd be shocked at what those are, like corn chips and white pretzels and brown rice pasta has a high glycemic index. And if you'd be shocked, it's foods that make your blood sugar bump up. And if your blood sugar spikes throughout the day because you want it to be zen and really even keel throughout the day, not spiking, then what happens is that your estrogen tends to be nudged down that nasty pathway. Remember, estrogen is, and most hormones are two-faced. They could be good or bad. And foods and how you live dictate a lot about which pathway they go down. Even thoughts, that's a whole other conversation with you. But when we eat a diet that spikes our blood sugar throughout the day, so if we have sugar in our coffee and a donut, and then we have a candy bar, or we even have, let's say, a whole bunch of chips, we have a whole bunch of chips at dinner, and then we have a drink, and then we have a sugary dessert, and these things bump up our blood sugar, then estrogen will tend to make metabolites, that's breakdown products, that can actually cause problems. So we heard about not eating sugar to avoid diabetes and not eating so much sugar to even things like acne, but now we know that an excessive sugar intake or refined food intake makes estrogen be a naughty hormone rather than a safer hormone.
Oh, well, gosh, it's good I'm eating all those whole foods then. I have to admit, though, the only sugar that I eat is in dark chocolate, but just a little bit, which is good for you.
I think I don't believe in being perfect because that's too stressful.
Either. Yes,
and
it is.
And if you eat well the majority of the time, hey, life is short and enjoy it. And
it's
chocolate
true.
Has so many benefits of it.
It does.
So we're talking about eating nice 2/3 of the time that you have an opportunity to eat.
Okay.
And you don't want to be so perfect and stressed out over food that you can't enjoy a drink or something really wonderful with a friend.
Oh,
it's all about balance. Right.
Yes. It is. No, you're right. I'm glad you brought that up because, like I said, for me, I have to be extreme or I don't feel well. But if you don't have to be, then you shouldn't because it's stressful. That's a whole other conversation about stress and hormones. But, yes, I definitely want to have you back on because there's so much more to talk about. Your book, Safe Hormone Smart Women, is fabulous. And tell us more, website or anything else you'd like to include people to
contact you. Okay, you go to my website, lindseyberkson.com, LindseyBerkson, lindseyberkson.com, and you go click buy this book here, and it'll take you right to the place where you need to go purchase the book, and it's real easy, and it's a specific site on Amazon. And we're really excited. The response to the book has been so wonderful, and it's so much work, and then the layer on top of that was to make it a fun page turner while you really got life-saving information. And so I appreciate being on a show like yours to reach out to lots of women and men, because remember, hormones are, we all have the same hormones just in different ratios, and we all have to take good care of our hormones. And we will start measuring our hormones in our 20s and 30s very soon because your hormone levels all throughout your life will dictate a lot of your health. So.
And you can do that through saliva tests, correct?
You can do it through saliva. You can do it through blood. You could do it through 24-hour urine. That's a whole other actual discussion as to what's more optimal and what's this and that. But many doctors measure it in different ways. But I don't feel very comfortable when doctors don't measure hormones at all and then just give women hormones. That does not, that's like playing Russian roulette to me, because you want to get a baseline, and then after a period of time, everybody's body deals with hormones differently. So after you're on your hormones for 6 weeks to several months, you want to get retested to see how your body dealt with what you gave it. And that's the real prudent way of hormone replacement therapy. And even if some women are able to go on hormones for a few years and then go off of them and just they get rebooted by the way they eat and the nutrients and having been on them for a few years. And research is showing if you're only on hormones for just a few years at 50, 51, 52, you can have lots of protection that lasts for decades now versus a woman who was never on hormones. So the whole understanding of hormones has changed, and women need to know about this. So they should read this book and then give the book to their doctor.
Yes, they definitely should. Well, I want to thank you so much, Lindsay. And if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.